City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, can you take the roll?
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Salmon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skronsky.
Here. Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jake, how many people are here for the Ben Franklin Elementary School project? Okay, that's my thought. I'm gonna take that after I do two proclamations with the seniors, and so that everybody can get out and enjoy the nice weather, and we'll go straight to the citizens' comment period. So the first proclamation, we actually have two. It was one for the Senior Citizens, Inc., for all of their community efforts and for their anniversary of over 40 years, and that those are contained in your packet. And I did present this along with their four aldermen at the senior dining meeting over at Clifford's the other day. In fact, I think Alderman Taylor and Solomon helped to read the proclamations to the about 200 people that were in attendance. But I do have a new certificate for a very, very special individual that I'd like to come out and to read and ask that he and his wife come forward. The boss.
Midge
the boss.
Midge
is the boss.
Somebody special, is that me?
That's you. This is Mr. Casper Green, and I know that you've all heard of him, and this is the boss. This is the age.
Believe it.
With that, we have a certificate of recognition and gratitude to Casper Green. Whereas our nation's heritage is based on citizen involvement and citizen participation, volunteering is an enormous benefit in building a better community. And whereas the dedication of volunteers who conduct the city and public business is often unrecognized, despite the essential services they perform and the quality of life they improve through their humble efforts. And whereas Casper Green has dedicated a tremendous amount of his valuable time to the City of Franklin through his extensive involvement with Franklin senior citizens, as well as serving as a member of the City's Negotiations Committee and presently, since 2005, as a member of its Personnel Committee. Whereas Casper Green, a tireless advocate for all senior citizens of Franklin, having served as president of the Franklin Senior Citizens for 16 years from 1995 to 2011, was extremely instrumental in establishing the Franklin Senior Meal Program, the dining site, who regularly attends Franklin Common Council meetings in order to apprise the Franklin Senior Citizens of the utmost current issues and happenings of the Franklin community, and whose number one focus is and always has been on the seniors of this community. Whereas Casper Green, who has been contributing his numerous skills and abilities to Milwaukee County since retiring in 1994, was inducted into the Milwaukee County Senior Citizen Hall of Fame in 2007, and whereas Casper Green was the grand prize winner of the 2010 Milwaukee County Golden Idol Senior Talent Competition, and whereas the City of Franklin is privileged to express special appreciation gratitude to Casper Green and his lovely wife, Midge, for his hard work, sacrifices, and unselfish spirit of dedication to the citizens of Franklin. Simply put, as quoted by one of Casper's supporters, he is truly one in a million with limitless heart and devotion. Now, therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby publicly recognize and thank Casper Green and Midge, and join all of Franklin in expressing our sincere gratitude for his loyal and conscientious service and outstanding contributions to the residents and community of Franklin, Wisconsin. Dated at Franklin, Wisconsin, this first day of June 2011, Thomas M. Taylor. Thank you, guys.
These 17 years years since I retired. I retired 1/1/94. They have gone by really quick. And so I was president of the Franklin Seniors for a little bit over 16 years, and it would not have happened without this group of people. They have watched out for and helped and then given me advice through the years that is just, I can't say how much they have helped me. And without them, the Franklin Seniors might not still be here. And a lot of people think, oh, those old folks are what we need. Well, I tell you, we do a lot of volunteering in the community that many of you don't hear about. And our people, I wouldn't be here without those 300 seniors that belong to our group. Because without them, I was nothing. And so you have to understand that I'm just up here checking the flags on their behalf. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.
Now I want to turn to recognition and presentation by the Ben Franklin Elementary School Project, the citizen teams, and we have our special teacher, who is teachers, who are going to introduce themselves, and then tell you a little bit about Project Citizen. And they're not going to talk about the first place award, but a very, very special award or project regarding Drexel Avenue. So.
Thank you. My name is Claudia Pegelsdorf. I teach 5th and 6th grade social studies at Ben Franklin. And we do something called Project Citizen, which is a community-based project where the students break up into smaller groups. We have 60 students. They broke up into four different groups, and they tackle a problem that they find in their community. And they try and look at several different alternatives or several different solutions to that problem. They choose one to become their class solution or their class policy, and then they try and figure out how to make that happen and come up with an action plan. So they're looking at public policies throughout, they're learning about public policies in the city government and the state government. So we had four groups, like I said, and one of our groups, the bullying group, they decided that bullying was such a problem and it continues to be a problem throughout their school career, that they wanted to see how they could reduce bullying. And they came up with a campaign, and they called it Band Against Bullying. So I'd like to bring the Band Against Bullying group up, please. But statewide, they have schools, middle schools, 6th grade, 7th and 8th grade schools competing with each other. And they send their boards up to the State Bar Association, and they have a panel of judges. They go through all of the work that they did, all of the interviews and all of the research that they've done, and they put it together. This group came in second place in the state competition. So, and write out music for a song that they wrote. And he wrote the music for piano. Tell me if I'm getting them all. Piano, trumpet, clarinet, flutes. What other ones did he write? Violin, the viola. He wrote music for all those instruments, and they played it, and they wrote the music. So they really did.
Well, only that I've been privileged in the past of being one of the judges. This year, I was supposed to be over there, but I was held captive by Channel 6 in this room, and so I wasn't able to get in there. But I really want to tell the kids and the teachers that I think it's probably one of the most worthwhile programs that we have in our city, in our community. And my experience, my past experience, is that the programs that the children put on are so comprehensive and so detailed that they sometimes surpass the presentations we get by consultants. And I said, well, maybe we should just hire the kids. We'd probably be a lot better off. So I really applaud you for all of your efforts, and you do just an outstanding job, and we're really, really proud of all the kids. Just terrific. So.
Thank you, guys. Now, the next, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. The second group that I brought today is a group that really felt that the bike lane on Drexel Avenue between 76th Street and Loomis was not as safe as it could be. They kind of worry about people who are texting and people who are not really paying attention, kind of veering off into the bike lane. So their project was looking at how they could make that bike lane safer. So I'd like to invite this three of the students here from that group. They weren't all able to make it tonight, but they wanted to do a quick short summary for you. And they're kind of hoping that the Common Council will maybe take a look at that so that we could make that bike lane safer for the pedestrians and the bikers. So go come on up. And this is a shorter summary of how they presented it to the panel of the Madison. And so your board's over there.
Any answer?
It was very nice. You came into the classroom because we were able to ask you questions. It was wonderful.
Thanks, I'm sending you a check.
class policy, if you chose to be lightning, and like I said, if you found out that they did it in quarter, we have so far in the packet our buildings for lightnings that told that they had over 100 miles of lightnings, and they felt they were very unsafe, so they decided to leave and live. And we also have other places like Germany and New York have colored lightnings. We had some individual groups that would agree with the weather policy. People who would agree would be the Franklin Public Library, the Lions Club, which was the pedestrians, paramedics, and the PTA. People who would oppose would be the taxpayers, because they want to get what they want. The government officials that would agree to oppose our policy, the people who would agree to the alternate.
They're hoping that you take into consideration maybe doing something with the bike lanes to make it safer. It's nice and wide now. It's just that the kids worry a lot.
Alderman Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. These kids were great. They were tough, too. They asked me some questions. But they also now know about limited slope easements and various other traffic issues that I'm sure was exciting for them. Mr. Mayor, it's not on the agenda, but I'd like this referred to the Department of Board of Public Works, a presentation from the students and their consideration and recommendation back to the council.
I think I can direct the city engineer. By the way, this is Ron Romeis' boss. This is Jack Bennett, city engineer. He builds all the roads and everything, so I was watching him. He was listening intently, so I'm sure that Mr. Bennett can get that on the agenda for the Board of Public Works. I just want to say that, Alderman Wilhelm had her hand up.
Well, I thought you might be interested to learn that there's a Trails Committee that was put together by the mayor, and we are meeting on Thursday. We have written two Safe Routes to School grants, and we have a grant obligation under that to come up with a program, and we have to complete that by August. So if there is any of you that could help us make that work and meet that grant obligation, that would be really nice, because it includes just exactly what you're talking about, safe roads to school and bike and pedestrian safety.
Well, any other questions, comments? If not, I want to thank you. I definitely want to thank the teachers for putting on a fantastic program, and This is just outstanding as usual. And so thank you for coming here and sharing all of this with us. And hopefully you can persuade this gentleman right here, this guy, that we should do something like that. So how about a nice round of applause? With that, we'll turn back to the regular order of business, which is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Not close to citizens' comment period and turn to... Oh, sorry. Sorry, didn't see you.
Joe, why don't you bring that up with the mic up?
Could please state your name and address for the record, and we do try and keep these to 3 minutes per presentation, but if you go beyond that and you want to speak again, please do so.
Okay. I'm Judy Emard. I live on 8463 South 116th Street, and I'm about the sewer coming down Ryan. Now, I heard that we're going to be taxed for this, and I don't think it's fair because we will never see it. And how can we be taxed for something we never saw? I bought my parents' house, and they were taxed for this for like 10 years. And they finally stopped it, and now they want to do it again. We'll never see it, and we're going to be taxed. I think it's totally unfair.
Okay. Just on that question, the I addressed probably about 39, 40 people from the neighborhood who were invited, not by myself or Alderman Skronsky, but by separate individuals that raised all these same questions over at the Polish Community Center about 3 weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
I know that there was a flyer that went out. Somebody gave me a flyer on that was passed out. And in the information, there was some... truths, there was some falsehoods, and there were some exaggerations. It was a flyer that was not signed, and it was anonymous. In fact, the piece that's on the bottom of the flyer where it was handwritten talked about the city taxing the residents, and that's not true at all. If, in fact, there was a tax that was going to be imposed, it would be imposed by MMSD, but no determination has been made at all. The MMSD will hold public hearings where the public and the elected officials will be able to advocate for the position. I can tell you that as part of the comprehensive master plan for the city, the people along 116th Street really loudly said that they did not want sewer along 116th Street. My recollection of the comprehensive master plan that was passed by planning and by the Common Council was not to have sewer in that area. But the issue of taxable, not taxable, that's going to be something that will be coming up in the future with MMSD. But no public hearing has been set. And as long as you're up there, there's another rumor that I would like to dispel immediately because it came to my attention that there's a, you know, when people are trying to win positions, they will sometimes say whatever is necessary, sometimes untrue things. There's a rumor that because of the sewer project going in, that homes will be taken. I'm not aware of a single home that would be taken through eminent domain or any other means, and talked to the city engineer today about the path of the sewer. So that is a total and complete falsehood, and I don't think that the Common Council members would ever support that anyhow.
So MNSD, whatever, they have control of taxing us or not?
Just like myself and my neighbors where we have sewer and we're part of the MMSD district, MMSD
right.
Taxes us, yes.
So are your taxes, if we get taxed, are your taxes going to go higher too?
I don't know. That's all going to be up to a separate commission. The MMSD commission is comprised of 7 members appointed by the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, and 4 are elected by the ICC or the Executive Council of MMSD, of which I am the chairman.
Now, with the sewer going through, how many people were notified before any money went out?
We counted something like 49 meetings occurred regarding the input for the comprehensive master plan, where there was pre-sewer and post-sewer plans. The post-sewer plan was based on the implementation of the Ryan Creek Interceptor. There were at least one or two large articles that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal. There were articles that appeared in Franklin Now. And then there were public notices that were printed in the various newspapers.
Okay, but not each individual home was notified about the sewer and the cost.
I would have to turn to Mr. Bennett, but I think normally with the public hearings, we put out public notice. Mr. Deedle?
For the Southwest Plan, which is a part of the Comprehensive Master Plan, we did send a notice to every homeowner in the southwest part of the city. That was done once. Other times, the notices were in the paper and or the newsletter.
They were?
Yes.
I don't believe we got one.
Yeah, we sent it to everybody who gets a tax bill.
In the newsletter, you're saying?
Other times, the newsletter, that list, I'm not sure if it was included in the newsletter. But other notices were in the newsletter. One was mailed individually, specifically to the newsletter.
I just can't see where, if we have no chance of hooking up to it, why we are taxed. And you don't clean out our septic tank.
As I said, there's been
we
no
had to
public.
Do that too.
Ma'am, there's been no public hearing that has been set, and no testimony taken by the Commission of MMSD. So as we sit here, there's been no determination whatsoever regarding taxes or taxing districts. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
Sharon Kest, 8514 South 116th Street. I have a few questions that were brought to my attention in the course of these events. And one of them is that why are we even building this project in the first place at this time when jobs are, you know, at low, the incomes are low, you know, so forth and so on.
The answer to that is that the Ryan Creek Interceptor project has been something that the city, this council, former councils have been seeking for a very, very long period of time. Recently after I was elected mayor about 6 years ago, I, along with several aldermen, state senators, Mary Lozick, Jeff Stone, a number of the business community, all went down to MMSD to literally beg them to put in the Ryan Creek Interceptor. At that time, it was at our cost, which would have been about $42 million. The mission statement of the city refers to trying to achieve a 70-30 balance, but the short answer is to try and seek tax relief in the Franklin School District.
Okay, because there's a lot of strip malls. The industrial center isn't even filled. You know, there's so.
Yeah, I seriously doubt that the Common Council would entertain any additional retail development along that area, given the amount of retail development we already have and the empty stores that we already have. What you might see, potentially, is you might see a business park. I don't know if you're following it, but in Menominee Falls, they are trying to bring in the Kohl's worldwide headquarters. Unfortunately, they don't have enough land to be able to bring it in, and the Kohl's asked them to buy a golf course just so that they could use the golf course for that. So you might have a facility that would look like SC Johnson's campus, you know, a very large but very beautiful worldwide headquarters. I think I don't have to poll the council members, but I think they'd be reluctant to be approving retail development when there's still all of these empty spaces in the city right now. In the project, you're looking at not 5 years from now or during a recession. This is a project that's it's a legacy project that might be in place for 100 years, 150 years from now. It's a infrastructure project that would allow the city in future years to make options to be able to say, well, maybe we need a new high school out there, because of the growth of the community, and because we have the sewer, we'll be able to build a new high school. Or maybe they would say, well, if we don't get more tax revenue coming in, we'd have to lay off police officers or firefighters, so maybe we would like to have a business park. So it's not just for now, it's more for the next, between now and maybe 150 to 200 years from now.
So at this present time, why are we moving towards the most expensive alternative?
Well, right now the sewer project, for all intents and purposes, is a $40 million sewer project that the city of Franklin and the residents of Franklin will get literally for free. 6 years ago, we were literally begging to have MMSD take our $42 million so they could get it. Now we've been able to put an agreement together that the 35,000 people of Franklin would get a free sewer project. In fact, a county supervisor, John Weishin, made an issue of that and said he doesn't know why the people that he represents have to pay for a sewer in Franklin. Now, I would argue that the people of Franklin have been paying for all these deep tunnel projects, all these sewer projects in the city of Milwaukee, West Allis, Greenfield, for years and years and years. So they're not giving us anything for free. All we're getting is what we deserve.
Mm-hmm. I guess another concern is that we went to the Clean Water Fund for, you know, some for financing. And there are other communities such as Shortwood and West Allis that are in dire need to repair their systems where they had substantial damage last year. And on the priority list, they're lower than Franklin, adding on to what most people review as a already failed system at MMSD. So I guess the question is, how can we add on to the system when there's an already failed system at MMSD with the deep tunnels and all the flooding that transpired in the last couple years, or every time, or when they open up those floodgates, the amount of sewage that gets dumped into Lake Michigan?
Well, Sharon, as you may know, I'm currently the chairman of the mayors and village presidents for Milwaukee County. So in some respects, I represent all 19 municipalities, and the county executive sits on there as well. And then I'm also the chairman of the executive council of MMSD that is comprised of 28 municipalities, including all the municipalities of Milwaukee County and Brookfield, et cetera, et cetera. Having said all that, my main job is the mayor of the city of Franklin. And my job, as I see it, is to do the best job I possibly can to get projects into the city at the lowest possible cost, in this case, no cost, so that the taxpayers in Franklin don't have to pay $42 million for a sewer that we can get for free. So my first and foremost job is to represent the 35,000 people of Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm John C. Fuentes. I live on 118th and Ryan. And the question I have for you is, as far as that deep sewer that's going through, why can't we put water and storm sewer and everything at the same time instead of tearing up the streets several times?
I'll ask the city engineer who's over the consultant. I think that's a pretty good question. Mr. Bennett?
The sewer that's going in is a large transmission main that will serve both Franklin and Muskego. In fact, the initial flow in the sewer will be Muskego. And one reason that the sewage district is paying for this sewer is that it serves two communities. In fact, it will serve a little piece of New Berlin sometime in the future. There will be no connections to the sewer because the sewer will, after the 20-year clean water loan, will, by an intergovernmental agreement, be an interceptor sewer owned by the Metropolitan Sewage District, and they normally don't allow connections to that sewer. We will be placing manholes such that we could service the whole area. In fact, all of the southwest portion of the city could be served, everything west of 76th Street and south of more or less Ryan Road, although it goes a little bit north of Ryan Road in areas, can be served by this sewer. But local sewers will need to be extended off that. And I was just out today talking to some people on Ryan Road, and they were somewhat interested in possibly having sewers extended in the very near future. And I said that if that's the case, we probably could, while the road is still torn up, extend the local sewers along Ryan Road to service those homes. That's one of the few areas that we have a number of homes in a row that you really could service. We don't have many pockets of development in the Ryan Creek service area. So that can be. As for water, we really don't have water in the vicinity. Water is reasonably shallow. It's about 6 feet deep. We have to have an 8-foot separation. That's a DNR rule. We can't put the water in the same trench we put the sewer. So there isn't a lot of savings by putting water in with the sewer. And very frank with you, most people in Franklin that have wells are satisfied with their wells. And every time we have a request for water and we survey the area, people don't want to pay for water. They're satisfied with their own wells. But someday in the future, we'd see sewer on one side of the road, water on the other side of the road, and the Ryan Creek interceptor down the middle of Ryan Road. And that's pretty much true of 112th Street and 92nd Street and 76th Street. It won't go down the center of the road, but it will go down the east side of the road.
How about storm sewer?
Storm sewer, we normally don't. Rarely in the city have we converted what we call rural development to urban development because it's so costly. It's just so costly, and sewer and water are assessed to the abutting property owner. The city really doesn't pay for that. The abutting property owners pay for that. That's been true throughout the last 40 years where we've been extending sewers, so you haven't paid for sewer and water for other people, and they more likely, if the council keeps the same policy, they won't be paying for yours.
Okay, and then as far as that assessment by MMSD, I mean, is there any way of, I mean, is it normal to pay that assessment? I mean, is there people that don't pay that assessment?
Mr. Ben?
I don't know. I'll spend a couple minutes on it. Back about 25, 30 years ago, Mayor Fadro was able to get some rules through the state legislature relative to the areas in the Metropolitan Sewage District that weren't served by sanitary sewers. And that really happened when the sewage district started building these deep tunnels, because prior to that, the tax from the sewage district was very little, and you really hardly noticed it on your tax. But once they started building these deep tunnels, that tax ended up to be a substantial tax. With that, he was able to get the state legislature to say that people that were more than likely not to receive sewers within 10 years could be removed from the sewage district as long as we don't create pockets. And we went through. The problem is the city of Franklin, since they only put sewers in when people request sewers, when the majority of the area requests sewers, we never really had a capital program for extending sewers. So we worked out an agreement with the sewage district that if you were within 1,000 feet of a sewer, then you would presume to be in the sewage district. So we went through and put all the area that was outside of 1,000 feet away from sewers. We took them out of the sewage district, and then as lands developed and sewers were extended, then we've brought them back into the sewage district. In most cases, the people in the area then were getting sewers because we were extending sewers. I don't think there's any question that the district will insist that the people abutting the Ryan Creek Interceptor, I think they'll insist that coming into the district. They have talked about for the last 4 or 5 years, even before really this proposal of the Ryan Creek Interceptor has come up, they've talked about the possibility of just kind of unilaterally forcing all the people in Franklin into the sewage district. We're the only community in Milwaukee County, and of course the sewage district only charges Milwaukee County. They don't outside Milwaukee County, they have contracts because they can't tax outside of Milwaukee County. They have been making gestures. They proposed rules. the city of Franklin has fought them, but there has been a movement to try to bring all of Franklin by the sewage district into the sewage district, whether or not the Ryan Creek interceptor is extended. So, as the mayor said, that's an action of the Metropolitan Sewage District, the commission, and they'll have to hold public hearings, and I'm sure that the people of Franklin will be heard when that comes about. But that's not this council's decision. That's going to be the Metropolitan Sewage District.
So it sounds like we are going to get taxed. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Eric Belzerelski, 11930 West Ryan. Now, we're getting this for free, right? Now, but shouldn't they? That's just the main, which we can't hook to. Shouldn't the MMSD be paying for the lateral in front of our house too, right away, that we can actually hook to eventually? I mean, if we're going to be taxed on it, we should actually get the lateral. I mean, I could pay for it coming from the lateral into my yard, but a main that I can't even hook to, that's my point.
You know, it's difficult. Mr. Bennett is correct that the MMSD, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I know I was the mayor at the time, they wanted to basically just put everybody in the district without any say whatsoever. I sort of remember me being vehemently against that, and may have stated so publicly. It's difficult to say what people are going to do until such time as they do it. Now, the staff of MMSD, and I can say this as a former government bureaucrat, sometimes like to think that they are the final say on every project. And the reality is there have been many, many projects, and this is not intended ill will towards Mr. Bennett, but like 51st Street and the widening of 51st Street. If I asked Mr. Bennett for his professional opinion, he would tell me that we really should have, that should be expanded to four lanes, curb and gutter, boulevards down the center. Now, if he told me anything else than that, then we shouldn't have him as our professional. However, he did tell us that, and we said, well, that's not what the people wanted. And so a number of us decided that we would vote to have the street stay without a lot of expansion. And the same can hold true with MMSD. The commissioners that are on MMSD, seven are appointed by the mayor of Milwaukee, four are appointed by the ICC, which I'm the chairman of, or the executive council of MMSD, of which I'm the chairman. And elections are held. I think right now we have the president of Whitefish Bay, Mike West, I think Ron Hayward, who's the president of West Milwaukee, is on there. Former mayor of Oak Creek, Dale Richards, and Jill Didier, who's the mayor of the city of Wauwatosa, are the four appointees from the ICC. The other seven members, I think Wallace White is, he's the chairman of the African Chamber of Commerce, African American Chamber of Commerce. And then there's a couple state senators, et cetera, but all of those are Mayor Barrett's appointments. To say that after arguments are presented that they're going to vote one way or the other, I think you've seen in Madison that elected officials' votes are not predictable. I think a number of us are going to be making some arguments regarding things. I know that as part of the Comprehensive Master Plan, we clearly said that we were not interested, the Plan Commission, both the Council, of putting sewer along 116th Street. So I think we need to inform MMSD of that. Now, will they listen to us? Will they not? I don't know. I do know that Alderman Skaronski and the other aldermen, Alderman Taylor, have the ability of going down and advocating on behalf of their constituents. And I also know that as part of the contract, no determination has been made by the city of Franklin that anyone will come in the district. All that has been agreed upon is that there's going to be a hearing.
Now, how deep is this pipe going to be, this main?
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, the main's going to vary. The first portion of the main will be in tunnel section, and that's going to go under the Root River through the county property, adjacent to the county property. We get up to 40 feet deep on the area that's on Ryan Road. It's going to be approximately 25 to 30 feet deep.
So that right by electrical transit, that little chunk of Ryan in between 36 and 45, how deep is it going to be there? About
25 to 30 feet. We're going to jack and bore underneath Loomis Road, so we won't have to dig up Loomis Road.
No, that
closing.
That tunnel, is that going to jeopardize any of the mound systems that's in the front yard, or a well that's in the front yard, or all the trees alongside that road? I mean, we had people tagging trees like my two fronts that are 50 feet out, and we got a couple wells and a mound system that the guy just put in 5 years ago.
They tag the trees just to locate trees. Those trees are not to be taken.
Yeah.
The sewer's going to go down the center of the road, so it will be in the center of the road. It shouldn't have any problem with the trees.
40 feet deep, you don't have to slope it out, just dig straight down?
They'll use a shield and dig pretty much straight down. It does depend on the soil somewhat. It can cave back, but they pretty much use shields now instead of open cuts. So they have these big steel shields that they put down, and they drag those along as they excavate the sewer. So we try to keep the trench narrow. It's better for the pipe, too.
Yeah.
Less pressure on the pipe if we keep the trench narrow.
Is this supposed to start in November or something like
if
that?
Everything goes as planned, it would start in November and be completed in early 2013.
I mean, I'm just wondering if they happen to start in front of my house where it would be 30 feet deep through the winter, how am I supposed to get to my house?
You'll be able to get your house from one. We'll close Ryan Road to through traffic, and just the section that we're working on will be open. So as we move down the road, you'll end up coming in from one direction, and as we move down the road, you come in from the other direction. But we have to be sure that police and fire can get to your homes at all times. So just the working face would be open, and at night they usually tighten those things up pretty well. So at the worst case, you might not be able to get into your house for a day.
Okay.
But you'd be able to get at least to your neighbor's house and maybe park there. Many times we can get the driveways open by evening time. We'd let the people know so they can get their cars in.
I have asked the the staff to make sure that the consultant that's on the project and the people on the project are trying to do everything possible to try and, I call it, jiggy-jag the lines to avoid hedgerows and trees. In fact, you'll see that there's one portion that goes straight and then makes a 90-degree turn to avoid a whole set of trees and then goes down, which, is, of course, is much more expensive for the project. But trying to do everything we possibly can. We understand that you're impacted by this, that we need to do things as a city to try and alleviate some of the burden.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys, I mean, nothing's going to be touched with, like, the gas lines that are running right next to the road or anything like that? Or?
All the gas lines have been located, and they're on our plan, so we know where they're at.
Okay.
They're generally in the ditch area, and we're going to be in the pavement.
All right.
I guess the important thing to realize is more than two-thirds of the city already has that type of pipe in it, and that this isn't the first project, and that... I did ask Mr. Bennett, and I don't know if I'm correct or not, but there was issues about, is this going to disturb the water table? And I think he said, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in his 42 years of being around here, hasn't had a problem with it so far.
Right. With the depth of sewer, and we are putting in what we call clay dams as we go past wetlands, so we don't drain the wetlands because the in the street, it'll be a gravel backfill, probably dry the area up a little bit, the ditches, because of the gravel backfill. But we aren't deep enough. I don't think anybody has a sand point, so we're not deep enough to drain any wells.
Alderman Olds, oops, sorry.
I actually heard about the land acquisition thing, and what I basically heard was that the county itself was not allowing Franklin or whatever to use their land for this.
That's not true. There was a hearing. It was in the paper. I don't know if it was front page, but one of the pages.
went down to the Milwaukee County Parks Commission, and the vote by the commission, I think, was 6-1 in favor of granting the easement. But then I went to the county board, and this John Weishin, county supervisor, again, I think, raised the issue that why should the people in his area in Milwaukee County have to pay for a sewer out in Franklin? Again, I would add, people in Franklin have been paying for sewers all over Milwaukee County for a long time. So my understanding is the motion that was made was to return this item back to the Parks Commission for more review, investigation, and testimony. Alderman Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a very important issue, but it seems like the questions we're hearing are more technical in nature rather than policy-oriented, and I'm wondering, we have a unique opportunity. We have both the consultant and the city engineer here. Perhaps the people that have questions on the sewer maybe meet in the hearing room with the technical staff rather than, and if they have a question relative to policy, that's fine. But,
okay. Let me... Alderman Wilhelm, let me just ask, is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
I just have one question.
Okay. If you could, please take the microphone because it's all taped and
all that stuff. When the sewer goes through, is there something to be done with the ditch lines to improve them? Because we got a problem with mosquitoes and we got standing water.
If I can. Alderman Olson, I actually agree with you. I just wanted to make sure people that still had to talk. And that Jack's got a presentation here. So a public hearing, but I think right after that, if the people wanted to have a meeting with Mr. Bennett or the consultant, that'd be fine.
The answer is, since we're going to be ripping everything up, the ditches will be regraded.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I guess since I haven't had a lot of answers to these questions in this much detail, I wouldn't mind being part of that meeting, but I have to be up here, so... could you tape that if you do that so we can all get the answers to those questions? The other thing is, would now be appropriate time since the actual layout of the where it's going be appropriate to put up like we do when we put up master plans and other roads, put that up out somewhere so people that coming are in and out of City Hall can see that?
Well, we're currently under the citizens' comment period. When we get to the project and we have maps, I don't see why not.
I'm just saying we do have other things, proposed projects like the CCD park in Tennessee and Rhine Road and the highway, you know, all the different roads, Drexel Interchange and all that. I think that maybe this one would be a good one, and then people will know where it's going. If you print that off, blow it up, tape it to a wall out there, and when people come in out of City Hall, then there are all these questions about is it coming through my land, they can just look at the map and see where it is.
I got a lot more detailed maps.
That might help a lot.
All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment? Yes, ma'am. And I might add that, just like I said when we had the public hearing, which was part of that flyer that went off that said that there was a public hearing and testimony was taken, that... I made myself available to all the people over at the Polish Community Center for all those that were invited. I think Alderman Wilhelm was there, Alderman Skronsky was there, and a number of others. So if people have questions, give us a call.
Okay. Sharon Kest, just one quick. I just was wondering if we're at that point, if we have the state environmental impact report and the feasibility study.
I think those questions were asked at the public hearing, but Mr. Dunn?
Yes, for a sewer project, there isn't an impact statement. There's a Chapter 30 permit. Chapter 30 permit, all the wetlands have been surveyed by the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission staff. They've been located. Cedarburg Science is in the process of doing the final preparation for the Chapter 30 permit, and that will go in. We have done a hazardous waste survey. Phase, what they call a phase one survey, that's been completed. Found one area that on the corner of Ryan and Loomis Road, the south east corner, that there was a possible contamination. We have taken soil borings in the street area now and find that that contamination has not spread to the street. We are in the midst of an archaeological survey, and that has been completed. And we have a geophysical survey that has been completed. All those are basically on file. There is, for highways, there is an environmental. For sewer projects, there's a Chapter 30 permit, and that's in the process of being. We have met with DNR on all phases of this.
On the clear, on the clear water funding, isn't that a requirement?
Clear water funding, we have the priority has been, as you somebody indicated, that we have received the priority. The just this last week, the final application was filed. It's about that thick. And I understand that DNR has reviewed the application, and now it's at the Department of Administration for final review. Still, even though we get approval on that, it does not necessarily mean the project is approved, because we still have a number of things that we must accomplish, and one of them is to get the easements within a specific period of time.
Are these studies and reports for public review?
The Chapter 30 permit's not completed yet, but that will be for public review. I understand the archaeological review is generally not for public, because they do not want people to know where there's archaeological.
City clerk was whispering, yes.
Yeah, that makes good sense.
The Clean Water Fund application.
But like the environment.
Clean Water Fund application is ready to be viewed. Chapter 30 permit, as soon as it's completed, will be ready for viewing. All the other documents that we have are ready for viewing.
And what about a feasibility study?
There was no feasibility study.
Are we going to have one?
The feasibility study really was that the sewage district does a facility plan. We don't call it a feasibility study for sewers. The facility plan, and when the 2020 facility plan was adopted, it was conditionally adopted for the Ryan Creek Interceptor, indicating that the sewage district had to go out and do some more detailed work on the facility plan. And we have joined with Muskego, and both Muskego and Franklin adopt resolutions encouraging the sewage district to do the Ryan Creek Interceptor. We hired Rickard & Melke Associates, a consulting firm, and they put together a program and basically prepared the facility plan for the sewage district. That facility plan was taken to the commission, and the commission approved that facility plan. This facility plan has been approved by DNR and has been approved by Sewer PAC and of course, the commission. So we have all approvals. They don't call, they called it the study, that's the terminology, but that's all been completed, yes.
I guess it would be important to understand,
and that's available for anybody that wants to
whether the Ryan Creek Interceptor is going to be approved by the council or not. That's already happened, and it happened many, many months ago, and contracts were let. So that's why we have a consultant. That's why the flags are out in the areas. That's why people are talking to people, because all of that, those contracts and everything was approved by the Common Council months and months and months ago. And the comprehensive master plan for the city, as you remember, Sharon, I think you and your husband were both here for many of the hearings on that. That was passed by the Common Council. I can't tell you exactly what the exact figure was. Maybe it was 6-0, maybe it was less than that. But there was a pre-sewer plan and a post-sewer plan. And one of the things that's out there that people don't understand is that they think that if the Ryan Creek Interceptor doesn't go through, there's not going to be any development. That's not correct. If the Ryan Creek Interceptor was not to go through, there's going to be development, but it's going to be a whole different type of development. It's more than likely going to be residential. It's going to have septic systems. And once that is put in place, the possibilities of, let's say, putting parcels together for business parks and all that, I'd say that the odds of that happening are very, very slim. Now, some areas of the city where sewers did go through, they used to be agricultural fields, you know, like where the business park is right now. I'm just looking at a 1985 map to see what that was, and that was basically agricultural fields. And I think the city purchased that land, which was, in some opinion, people's opinion, was worthless. I think they gave about $2 million to the landowners, and now the property is worth about $200 million.
So for some property owners, you know, they may be approached by people, the same types of people like Mooney LeSage, where they turned the development from $2 million to $200 million, and that figure is still growing. In fact, if you stay around for some of the discussion in the council, we're going to discuss just how much the business park is worth, how much the where NML is, and where Wheaton Franciscan. So, and I think along 27th Street also, since the 27th Street Corridor project, the land and the value of the land has gone up significantly. So, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to approval of minutes of May 17th, 2011.
So moved as amended.
Yes. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
We'll go
under discussion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. For those that couldn't hear Mr. Bennett, for those that have additional detailed questions, Mr. Bennett's going to make himself available. Okay, and thank you for the suggestion, Alderman.
Hey, John, how are you?
Item D is hearings, a public hearing regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located at 11255 West St. Martin's Road for mixed use to institutional. Mr. Deedle?
City Clerk, can we read the notice?
Madam Clerk, could you please read the public notice?
Notice is hereby given that the County Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, June 7, 2011 at 6.
Excuse me one second. For the record, Alderman Wilhelm had left. But Alderman Wilhelm has returned. Madam Clerk, could you please read the public notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, June 7, 2011 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located at 11255 West St. Martin's Road from mixed use to institutional, New Hope Community Church Incorporated applicant. The property which is the subject of this application bears tax key number 799-9973-000, consisting of approximately 0.6 acres of land. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Wisconsin Statute Section 66.10014D. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan is available and open for inspection in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall during normal business hours. Also, a draft ordinance is available at the Franklin Public Library and on the City's website, dated this 14th day of April, 2011.
Okay, before I open this up for public hearing, is there anyone else, Mr. Deedle, anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to open up item D1 for public hearing regarding proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located at 11255 West St. Martin's Road. Is there anyone wishing to be heard during a public hearing? Is there anyone here wishing to be heard during the public hearing? Is there anyone here wishing to be heard during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing, and it's my understanding that this item, I believe this item 4, will be coming up for potential vote. With that, I turn to item E. I believe that 1A, Alderman Wilhelm to Economic Development Commission, probably should be held over until such time as we have a discussion relative to the Committee of the Whole discussion last night. And with that, I would turn to next appointment, which is James Lucky to the Board of Review for the 5th District nomination. Alderman Schmidt?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Selman.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Is there a consensus on the economic development we need to have
for that? Item F, letters, petitions. We have a letter from Tony Magna requesting permission to farm 5 acres of the 6-acre parcel on West Church Street and Highway 100. Because it came in the form of a letter, I think that if the council wishes this to go to the Plan Commission for further review and action, so be it. If not, it's at the pleasure of the council. Now, Alderman Skaronski.
No, I don't see a reason. I think we can make a motion on this. I think it's pretty clear what Mr. Magna wants to do with his property. It's been sitting there collecting weeds for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Olson and then Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm not a parliamentarian, so I won't comment on that. But the only thing that I'd like to know is he going to do corn or something less than that? You know, what's he going to put in there? If it's totally out of place with the neighborhood, it might not be.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Solomon.
Well, you might want to check the DNR files because he was cited for spraying off the wetland vegetation at one time on that. That's the same site, and there's a wetland there. So I don't know what the status is on that, but there's got to be something on the file. So before we go ahead and move forward, we might want to just verify that there's not an issue there. So I thought they had come in and told him that he couldn't do that at one time.
Mr. City Attorney, I did not explain Mr. City Attorney was coming from Madison, so that's the reason that he wasn't here as promptly as usually is. Mr. City Attorney?
No, I'll put my planning manager 101 hat on, and I think there's a zoning problem here because it is a B2 business zoning district and agricultural use, which primarily is farming. It's not a permitted use in a B2 zoning district. So I don't know that the council doesn't have authority to just approve a non-permitted use in a zoning district.
Alderman Solomon.
This is in my district. There have been multiple proposals for business development on this parcel. I would not vote for farming on this parcel. Alderman Wilhelm is correct. There are some issues with wetlands on this parcel in the past. I don't think we would be doing us a service to allow this turn into agricultural type of zoning, and I would not support it.
Okay. I guess the question is, do you want to refer this to the planning department as normally, or take no action at all and move on? Alderman Skaronski?
I'll go along with the alderman of the district. I think, if anything, give it to the planning department. Let them come back with the recommendation. And this way it takes its proper channels and route, if that's acceptable with Mr. Sauer.
The city attorney?
Well, the planning manager is sitting right in the audience here. Perhaps he ought to tell the common council whether or not he thinks this is in any way permitted use that the council could authorize, and if not, then you can refer to the planning manager and he can notify the property owner as to his conclusion as the planning manager.
Mr. Deedle?
Yes, the city attorney is correct. When I noticed this added to the agenda, I did some research. It's not permitted by the zoning district, and also our natural resource protection standards would not allow farming within wetlands. There are wetlands on the property. All the delineations are old and out of date. The wetland delineations would have to be redone. So there are two separate issues within the UDO, and it's not consistent with the comprehensive master plan. So I would be recommending no.
Okay. The reason that it's on here is because of the form it took, and it was requiring a decision from the policymakers. I clearly, as the mayor, do not have the ability of rezoning property or negating current ordinances, so that's why it's here.
But I can still call Mr. Magna and let him know what the discussion is and what the options are. You can try for rezoning, UDO text amendment. I can explain all those options.
Well, like I said, you don't have to take any action at all, and I think that there is a motion.
Alderman Skronsky moved to refer it.
Okay, but there is no second to the motion. So the motion fails for lack of a second. But you can do that anyhow, right? I don't see that the council wants to take any action, so let's move forward. Item G1, consent agenda, items A
move
through...
to approve.
Second.
A through C, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries now. Item 2, City of Franklin's Community Development Block Grant Program Projects for 2011. Mr. Liberta.
When the Climate Council approved these previously, I was authorized to move forward, provided the county gave back us contracts equal to what you recommended to them. However, federal funding was reduced, and there was an across-the-board cut of 7.6%.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3 is approval of concept for a primary duty assignment position as a full-time crime prevention officer. Chief Oliva.
I'll make the motion to approve.
It's a motion to approve. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion
carries. Nice presentation,
Chief. Nice presentation.
The moral of this story is always carry a gun.
Yeah. Is that what someone has walked through the park?
There's been a request to take up item 12, mayoral ad hoc development process review committee request for funding assistance for the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce 10th anniversary business appreciation event. Mr. Hansen, who is now the president of CCUG, correct?
That's correct.
And who is the proud manager of one of the finest and only hotels in the city of Franklin, which is really terrific, is here tonight to discuss this issue with us. And I believe at the mayoral ad hoc development review committee, you had said something about $1,500, but you'd have to get back to us with the costs. And now we have a spreadsheet with options 1, 2, and 3.
What we've done since that time is we've contacted Wheaton Franciscan, who is generously donating their space for this event for the South Suburban Chamber's 10th anniversary, which we've come to find out at the same time the City of Oak Creek and the City of Franklin have in the past done business appreciation events. So what we put together here is a list of options, 1, 2, and 3, one being the least pricey, if you would put it that way, two being going what we might consider all out for this event, and three being sort of midway in that respect. And then the final number would be the split between the City of Oak Creek and the City of Franklin.
I think you said at the meeting, it was on tape, so I can ask you this. I think you said that the mayor of Oak Creek said bring out the fine china or whatever.
He did,
it takes.
And in fact, if you'll see where it says plus equipment, there is a potential to take that amount in half if we went with paper plates and that, but he did say he wanted to make this a nice event for our businesses in the community, which have, of course, that we help support.
And, you know, as you said, the Economic Development Commission for many, many years, Alderman Skronsky, I think, hosted, I don't know how many, it's 5 or 6 that I can remember at least, but there were funds available. And then we had a lot of businesses that contributed Innovative Health 1 year. And
Northwestern Mutual.
Yeah, and then the economy got kind of tight. Yeah. And but, you know, this is really, we were talking about economic development all last night, this is really something that is, I think, is very worthwhile.
I think it brings both Oak Creek and Franklin together.
Right. So I guess, which one were you, option 2 or?
I'm looking at option 3. I don't know that we want to go that far, but what I'd like to put out on the table is that if the final number goes higher than that, that we all understand that in events like this, you can't predict how many people will show up. So when it comes to the number of beverages that and sodas and waters that are there, we don't know until the final end. but we will split it between the two communities.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Taylor.
Well, I mean, Alderman Taylor has the same question. I don't know, but it says in here that indicated that two mayors will be invited to speak. Now, is that included as part of this, or is, are there plate plate prices for the aldermen, because you're not mentioning the aldermen's invitation in here. So I'm just wondering.
We're not charging any of the businesses to be there. We're just asking the two mayors to get up and speak about the business communities at large.
Right. So what I'm asking is if I want to come to this event, what is my charge?
It's free.
Okay.
For the businesses that are invited.
Okay. And we're actually considered one of the businesses because we're a member, is what you're saying.
Yes. I will invite you.
And is that a problem with taking anything? I just want to make sure that we, because we have these laws that we can't accept things, and so I want to make sure we're okay with that.
Alderman Taylor?
If that was a question, a legal question, or because I know there are laws that when I fill out my paperwork, it says I can't take things, so I'm just wondering where it fits in. That's all.
City Attorney?
The Ethics Division of the Government Accountability Board, previously the Ethics Board for a long time, and as I understand through current, determines as a matter of policy that anything of value to a public officer is something in the amount of $25 or more. Anything of value is set forth as a phrase within section 19.59 of the Wisconsin statutes in some of all the provisions that generally public officials should not accept anything of value which in any way, shape, or form may influence that official's decision. I'm looking at this handout here, and I'm not going to add them up mentally, but I suppose if you had the beverages and the shrimp cocktail and the meatballs and the chicken tenders and the anniversary and the assorted chilled fruits and vegetables, as well as a tier one appetizer party package, you might be approaching that. There's also a little component here about how the city would be contributing to this and that you are an officer of the city.
Okay. So I guess if you can just assure us we're not over, otherwise we'll give you a $5 bill when we walk in the door. We'll be okay.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
If you can be bought from me, I'll go for it.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Skransky.
Well, I know that we can't accept firefighter helmets, so I know that's over $25, but this is, I think it's fine. I don't have an issue with this. We've talked about this, and I think it's something that it's probably a good idea for the two cities to get together and do something. I personally take out the ice sculpture for $500.
Oh, I already took that out.
Yeah, I don't see any value.
I did not include that in any of the totals.
But I'd make a motion to recommend option 3. You don't want to go on the cheap, but you don't want to be the most expensive and try to stick as close as we can to that number. I'd maybe cap it at like $3,500. That's my motion.
Out of contingency?
Yeah. What?
Out of contingency. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, seeing that I started really the business appreciation, and we had funds at that time that were allotted to the Economic Development Commission. It's a community-based event that brings in businesses of all kinds in this community. In fact, we had so many that I split the list up. One year we would have this many businesses, and next year we would have this. And that was only in the city of Franklin. And this way we had a good mix of people, and we had sites donated in all this time. Of all the times that I went out, I have never been refused by a company or a corporation that was large enough. And we tried to always pick a brand new business in this community that was always opening their doors, whether it be Northwest Mutual or whether it be the smallest little company. They would always open their arms. The food was there. We paid for it. It was reasonable. And all the elected officials were always invited. There was never a question of, oh, am I going over to $25? It's a very good personal item that you can get to know your aldermen at these meetings. You're business-oriented. You're there to help them, to support them. It's a good thing to do, and it's a shame a couple of years ago that we didn't have the funds to do it and continue. And I admire you for going ahead, and you have my total support on it because the Chamber of Commerce should do a good job on this.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't anything that I was opposing this. I just wanted to make sure that we're in the spirit of the ethics.
I didn't even think of that.
Because I know I made a point at your last event to seek you out to pay for the last event I was at your place,
right,
just to make sure that I covered the membership fee. So.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Thank
for
you.
Coming down here.
Thank you, everybody else.
Thank you. And I also have to thank you for everything you do for the community, so thanks. Item 5, ordinance to amend Unified Development Ordinance. 4. Ordinance to amend City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located at 11255 West St. Martin's Road from mixed use to institutional. Is there a motion to approve? Alderman Skronsky?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 5, ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone certain parcel of land from VB Village Business District to I-1 Institutional District. Alderman Skronsky?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 6, resolution additionally approving a 2-lot certified survey map being located in all that part of the southwest one quarter of the southeast one quarter of Section 7 and part of the northwest one quarter of northeast one quarter of Section 18, Town 5 North, Range 21 East, in the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Congratulations, and thank you.
Thank you.
Go forth with hope.
Good luck.
There goes half the parish.
Thank you.
Item 7, resolution conditionally approving a condominium plat for 9030-32 South Cordgrass Circle Condominiums. Alderman Skronsky, please.
As the city attorney looked over this, and it meets all the requirements.
City attorney?
Everything that was presented to me, the planning manager could tell you that all this is an existing two-family that bank owns, and the bank is requesting that it be turned into a condominium form of ownership. It's on one lot, a two-family building.
Make motion to approve.
Second.
So moved and second under discussion. Alderman Olson.
Let's not do this kind of development ever again. Each one of those buildings is a separate condominium association. Separate maintenance, separate, but they're supposed to pay to Prairiegrass Preserve. But there's no documents that reflect back. This is a mess. Let's not do this again. It's one development or it's
not. Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, I talked with the president of the Homeowners Association. He didn't have a problem with it. And if there was any slight heartburn about this, I would have said no to it.
Well, Kim.
I understand. It is a mess. It has been. It's gone through bankruptcies. There were several buildings in there. That's when the market went down in the toilet, and it's been a mess, and I had to deal with this mess along with the homeowners, so it's not been a pristine, and in fact, that this particular subdivision was the parade of homes on top of it, and there's some very nice buildings in there, and unfortunately, there are some that turned out to be dumps, and it took a lot of work and money to put in there. Some of these buildings were overvalued. There were money drawn against them 2 and 3 times, and it made it difficult for people and the banks to sell it. There were 4 banks involved. There was one bank that was out of the country, so it was kind of a mess.
Anyway, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 8, job description, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Liberto.
At your last meeting, the Common Council directed that I prepare a job description for Chief Financial Officer, which is the temporary part-time position that is part of the succession planning for the following the retirement of the Director of Finance and Treasurer. The job description and detail on what the changes are in your packet, and I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Any questions? Now, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, Cal does a great job for us, and Cal, this is no reflection on you, but I see this as an opportunity to save a little money. It's my understanding the way this is written, this job could be carried out for 18 months at 15% or 50%, and to me that seems like an awfully long learning session curve. If we're going to hire someone who already is qualified, do we really need 18 months worth of training? Because Cal came in here without any municipal experience, and no one trained him. Is that correct?
You're really talking about the next item. This is just the job description itself, which has nothing to do with terms specifically, although it does specifically state that it is tailored to a temporary part-time position. The
right.
job description itself, it doesn't have anything to do with the specific term of 1 year or 6 months or 18. Your next item on the agenda.
Right, but once we step into the job description, this job description actually sets that system up for the next item, right? This job description you're creating.
Yes, but this job description could be used if you were doing a transition period of 1 week, if you're doing a transition period of, you know,
fine, vote on this one. My questions or comments still stand for the next item.
Absolutely.
All right. Motion on the floor is second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those favorable signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
And clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Sell.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
No.
5 ayes, 1 no, ayes have it, motion carries. Now, item G9, employment agreement for Calvin Patterson, Director of Finance and Treasurer and Chief Financial Officer. At the last time that this came up, I didn't comment because, Mr. Liberta, it's my understanding you took this to both the Personnel Committee and that this also went to the Finance Committee regarding the structure and the payments.
What went to the Finance and Personnel was what the Common Council approved at the last meeting, which was to move forward and set up the succession planning in this nature, allowing him to go to part-time in a supervisory role in the position that was created. This employment agreement, you directed me to bring forth something at this meeting, at the last meeting, you told me to bring it to this meeting. So what this does is it rewrites his employment agreement to accommodate that transition phase in the succession plan that the Common Council approved in concept at the last meeting. And in doing that, it does a number of things directed to Alderman Mahone's prior question. This sets the term to 1 year, which is what the Common Council said at the last meeting, without automatic extension. So his prior contract had an automatic extension if you didn't take an action. In this one, you will have to take an overt action if it's to extend past the year. You'll have to actually come in and make a motion to extend it for 6 months, which was part of your motion, to give yourself the ability to do that. You also, it gives you the ability to discontinue it after 6 months.
Well, and these agreements are mutual, correct?
Yes. This is written as HR director. I'd recommend all of them be. This is written leaving him in the at-will status that is allowed of employees in the state of Wisconsin, except during that first 6 months, it is on a for-cause basis.
The reason I point that out is because so far some of the discussion that's taken place in the last meetings, et cetera, was sort of, why are we doing this? But it's actually a joint agreement, and if this does not occur, there's the possibility that the employee also has the option of terminating his contract or leaving, correct?
Yes, and I think the letter he provided at the end of this indicates that it really was his intent to look for retirement at some point during this year, probably around August, and what he's really done is extended to the city an opportunity to provide for succession planning in a very senior position. And at your last meeting, the Common Council approved that it was in the best interest of the city to move forward that way. This enables you to do that.
The reason I ask is because a little bit further on in the packet, Mr. Patterson, if he's still here by then, will hopefully go through the various TIF projects that are outstanding, TIF 2, TIF 3, TIF 4, and talk to us about the balances and these projects. Also talk to us about things like right-of-way for 31st Street, Drexel 27th Street, and all of the various financing projects that need to be completed. When I was finance, as chair of finance, I had, I want to say, Teresa Harica, who was staff, who was a finance officer. And Alderman Solomon, you may remember this. Whenever we needed to ask a question regarding TIF districts or whether you could, it was wise to maybe look at civic center area and whether that should be a TIF district or not a TIF district, projects like Crossroads and things like that, we would turn to Ehlers and Associates. And Mike Harrigan is an absolutely fantastic consultant. There's no doubt whatsoever. But just like our Quarles and Brady, Mr. Harrigan works for a price. And the city, prior to Mr. Patterson taking this on, would contract with Harrigan and Associates on an hourly basis for each and every one of those projects, such as the TIF districts that are in front of you tonight. And or if you needed to make improvements in, let's say, the business park, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes it's good to go back and look at some of the history that's behind this. Mr. Patterson has done that, has agreed to doing those things. Also, the treasurer's position, which used to be a standalone position, I want to say Leanne Augustine held that position. And when I was chair of finance, I want to say that it was around $50,000-some, but that was 2001, so probably about $70,000 now with full benefits. Mr. Patterson handles both positions and finance director. So he had Teresa Harica's position, did Mike Harrigan's duties in essence, and also former treasurer Leanne Augustine. So I'm not sure everybody knows that in the history, but I do want to point out that when you're talking about transitioning, this isn't your normal finance director. This isn't where Teresa Harica leaves and then you put somebody in their place. And that's some of the rationale. Be very candid with you. Jack Bennett had some discussions about hopefully he never leaves the city, but if he did, I think it would be very, very difficult for people to pick up exactly what Mr. Bennett's been doing for all these years. And we may want to look at an agreement like this for the future. And that's about all I have to say, except that these are mutual agreements. And Mr. Liberto, what is the backup plan in the event that Mr. Patterson decided
that he wanted to terminate employment.
At the last meeting, part of your approval authorized us to begin the recruitment process for his full-time replacement, because that is the city's intent, provided I had proper, you know, clear indication from Mr. Patterson that that is his intent to move on. In your packet is a letter that did that. So based on that memo from him, it's the last page of the packet. Based on that, we have begun the recruitment process. It has been advertised nationally. It's been in the local newspaper. It's on the GFOA website. We're already receiving applications. So we are moving that process forward. And hopefully, if he were to decide to retire August 1st, there would be a couple of months of, we'd have a little time to react, and a couple of months of shifting some responsibilities around and trying to make sure nothing fell through the cracks between the senior accountant, the auditing firm, and myself, and probably some other people, just making do, which is normally what cities have to do when there are unexpected vacancies.
Okay. Alderman Olson.
Typo on page 71. I don't think we intend on paying Cal $2,117,880. Comma should be a period. I'm not going to rehash all my issues with all of this. It's on the record. So it'd be great to move on.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I also have a correction to the employment agreement. This is under page 69, section 1, duties and positions. If you go about three quarters of the way down where it says January 17, 2006, it says the City of Franklin job description approved by the Franklin Common Council on the 17th in 2006 and is amended May 17th, because the first one says the Common Council. It should be important to note that the amendment on the 17th was between the mayor and Cal. That should be inserted right there, so it's very clear in the future that that wasn't the Common Council, that that was an agreement that Cal brought forward when he saw that it was going to expire and he was catching that up. So right in.
Actually, that's not correct. The May 17, 2011 refers to your action at the last meeting where you amended the portion of the job description.
Well, where's the one where it was amended when his thing was up, when they brought it forward? Because the original, his contract was extended, not by the council.
Right, and there wasn't an amendment to the contract. The mayor wouldn't have been able to amend the contract. What Cal did, that a letter I think I previously provided you, was he basically provided a unilateral extension of a deadline that was in his contract to enable the Common Council to react to the fact that he was due.
I guess that's just the history I was trying to put it, because if you're going to put the history, please put the history in.
But
in
that wasn't a contract amendment, so that sentence refers to the action of the Common Council has taken on the job description. And the job description was what that sentence refers to. It was amended in 2006, and then you amended again at your last meeting.
Well, it did extend the contract, so it did have an effect on the contract. So it did have effect on
the
contract.
But that sentence is about the job description approved by the Franklin Common Council. So that sentence is just talking about the job description.
I understand that, and I'm saying then the job description had a unilateral agreement should go in that sentence for accuracy. But if you don't want to do that, then I won't push the point.
I guess I would. I'm sorry, Alderman Taylor.
Well, here's my issue. This does not reflect what I said. This does not reflect what Denisici said. I was at that finance committee. I respect the members of the finance committee a great deal. And one thing Dennis said was that we need to take a look at who the person we hire is before we put something into place. And that's not the case here. This takes place starting August 1st, when we're not going to have a person hired for 2 months. We're going to start doing a 1 year or 6 month to 1 year contract when we don't even know who the person is. What happens if we hire a person that can do exactly what Cal does? Not to say that is a guarantee that we're going to find that, but what happens if we didn't find that person? Then we're in the middle of a contract. That's what I asked last time at the Common Council meeting. I wanted to see something that started when we know who the person is. If we don't know who the person is yet. And this does not reflect that. And that's what Dennis said, and that's what I supported at Finance. This does not start. Or this starts August 1st, correct?
This actually starts July 1st.
July 1st.
Yeah, while he's in his current position.
Right.
But
however, when are we hiring the person? When is that projected? October? November?
Late September.
Late September.
Early October. Could be later.
So this is going to be in effect before we know who the person is. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Why are we doing that? That's what I don't get.
Well, I guess I can answer.
All right.
Two reasons. One, he currently has a contract that has an automatic extension, automatic 3% at January 1st, and so it revises all of those things. But if I refer you to the packet, section C, the minutes, page 3.
What page?
Page 3 of the minutes and item C. So, I mean, what the contract does, unless I misunderstood, that shows the action from last time, which was reflected specifically in the packet I provided at the last meeting, which carried your motion from the personnel committee meeting, or the joint finance personnel committee meeting, that I had even showed you and what your motion had been, with the transition team for a period of 1 year with non-automatic option for a six-month extension upon mutual agreement of the incumbent. And so what we built into the contract came specifically.
We can pull the minutes and listen to it. And I said, but it depends on the person. So we don't know that until we hire that individual. We don't know who's going to apply for this job. And that's the issue that I have. I don't understand why we're starting this before we even know who the person is. I think Cal does an outstanding job, and I think the mayor is absolutely correct that there are things that he does that we're going to have to go out and deal with the consultant if he's gone in that interim. That's very possible. But I don't understand why we're starting this before we have even chosen the person. That's the issue that I have, and this is not what I where I thought this was going.
Alderman Solomon?
I remember the comments from Dennis. And I do believe that comments were well received by myself. It depends on who we get to fill these shoes, to fill this vacancy. But no matter whom we get in the September-October timeframe, you're right in the middle of a budget, towards the end of the budget. So no matter what happens, you're going to need somebody there till the end of the year. Cal has offered to do that for us for 6 months. And if we don't take him up on this proposal, conceivably, August 1st, he could take a hike. He's helping us. We're not helping him. So as we move forward, I don't want to be in the middle of a budget with a new person coming in. That's not on my list of things that I want to happen. So as we move forward, I think this should be approved.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, this is very abnormal for a municipality to do. We've talked about that great length at both the Personnel and Finance Committee. This does not happen. It happens very rarely, even in the public, the private sector, this doesn't happen. So we're going to do something really unique, and I can see that. I can see some value in it. But what Dennis said, and I fully agreed, and I reiterated at the Common Council meeting, is that we need to find the person first. This does not address it. Then why do we do a shorter-term contract to get us up to that period of time? He wants to do half-time until we hire somebody? Let him do that. This just does not sit well because it's not what I was talking about. It's not what Dennis was talking about. And that's one thing that I basically grabbed onto was find the person, then determine. Otherwise, you're just kind of one step ahead of where you should be.
Again, some history. and that's that Alderman Olson and Solomon might remember this. When we were looking for a city development director, the city hired a headhunter, and they went out and they recruited a bunch of folks. And actually, the person that was selected, his wife landed a fantastic job, I think, in the Bahamas or something like that. And so he accepted the position but then left, and then there were two others that were left. Anyhow, after going through all of these committees and things like that, I think it came down to about three people. National search, I think. So I guess what I would say is that's if you can find a person, and that the person's going to start and be available to work and to take up everything that's currently in place. Maybe what is best here, because I'm hearing you loud and clear that Dennis Ichi and the Finance Committee, your recollection is they're saying, well, yeah, we support this, but not until we know who the person is. I guess I didn't hear that until now, and so I respect that. I do think that the employee is definitely owed an answer, and if there's not support for this, then tomorrow morning I would hopefully sit down with Mr. Liberta and Mr. Patterson and talk about future employment agreements or no agreements and carry on from there. Because I'm not seeing that there's support for this proposal tonight. But what you're saying, Alderman, I can completely understand what you're talking about. So, Alderman Taylor and then Mr. Liberta.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Your Honor. I mean, I've been on the Finance Committee for 3 years now, and I have the utmost respect for Cal. I think the guy does a hell of a job, and you know, the fact that he's actually leaving is a sad thing for the city because he is very talented. Now, we only can hope that we find a person like him with his qualifications that will be here for 20 years, and we don't have to go through this again. However, if you want my support on this, we need to put together some sort of agreement that I have no problem with the transition. I have no problem with doing that. But it has got to start once we know who the individual is. Even with the individual that has 70% of the qualification, there's still going to be some things that Cal's going to have to do, I believe. All right? And there's nothing wrong with having another person there at some point, but I need to know who that individual is. I don't know that. And I'm not going to be in the interview process. I'm assuming the mayor is, Mark is, hopefully maybe Cal a part of that, and whoever else you choose to be involved. But they can find a person, and then they may even know, hey, I remember this is one thing that we were talking about. Maybe you got this young person that has just finished up and getting his becoming an accountant, but he has all the right tools besides he's lacking that. Well, we need someone on board to be able to do that period of time. So if you want my support, which I will support a transition period, it cannot start until we know who the person is and then set the timetable.
I'm not hearing you loud and clear. Mr. Liberta.
Yeah. My apologies if we misunderstood your motion. When you said a year, give or take 6 months, we tried to draft into that because what we understood from that was you may hire a person, you may know who it is, but that's on paper and that's from an interview. Until they're in there and working and you start to see work product, you don't know. So one thing I did, about one of the few deviations I made on this draft agreement from your motion was I didn't stick to a fixed 6 months and then a year, then 18 months. After 6 months, it's entirely at will for continued extension. So at 6 months where you tested the new person and you actually do know who you have, I mean, who you have on paper and who you have walking in the door, you know, can be two different things, as you learned with Cal's predecessor who lasted 11 months. So this is fairly close to what you're talking about in that there's only a six-month period, which is gets you through that budget season, tax season, and the start of the audit to find out what this person really is. After that, you're at will. So you don't have to go to the full year. You have flexibility where it can be 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, So I, that's the deviation I made, where your original motion to personnel appeared to be with six-month extensions, give or take 6 months and 6 months extension. That's the one deviation. So I guess if you're looking, you know, to do it, I would still be concerned waiting till then, because even at that point, you don't really know who you have until you've tried them for a while. That's why I like and recommend leaving that at will, and starting, you know, starting that first 6 month period when they're there. That way, if you don't want to go any further, you've tried them out, you've got through that tax season, you've got through the budget season, and you're saying, okay, this guy knows his stuff. He's had a chance to learn some of the real nuances that we have here with our own pension trusts, our own, you know, health funds and things like that. You know what, Cal? 6 months been great, but we think we got it from here. And you've got that liberty at any point after that. You don't have to do a whole 6 month extension. So my apologies if we missed the intent of your motion. I thought we had not only nailed it but improved upon it. And my apologies if we didn't, because I think it would be difficult to wait to know who that person walks in the door and then say, okay, here's what we think we know, having, you know, talked to you at an interview and seen your resume. We just want to do a 3 month one, or we need 18 months. This still gives us the flexibility to really adjust to that, because you're at will after that first short 6 month period.
Alderman Solomon? Oh, Alderman Wilhelm? Alderman Solomon?
Well, I think it was at the finance committee when I said there should be actually a larger pool of people out there because of all the businesses that have closed. So this is a little different year than when we were looking for the economic development director when we only had a few people. I would think that there would be an awful lot of qualified people because of businesses closing down and the unemployment rate right now. So we have a pretty good opportunity to get someone at maybe even a better rate. That's very qualified, and it's all about writing the job description that fits that person. And my concern is if we bring someone in and tell them they have to work underneath someone, you're going to get someone who's not as interested, because now they're going to have to be told what to do. I mean, you get someone at that level that's up here that's supposed to meet the qualifications, they should be able to just pretty much pick it up and run with it. I would be more interested in hiring the person and putting them in Cal's position, and like Cal being the second in line and being part-time to help that person in that position. To me, that would make more sense. I'm not even really that thrilled about the long-time training period of up to 18 months. This a year of money for training someone who was supposed to be qualified when they step in the door, if we do a good enough job on screening the applications, that just to me is, we're all sitting up here claiming to be fiscally responsible, and that to me just doesn't meet it at all. Paying two people for that period of time, maybe 6 months, but up to 18 months? I just don't understand why we need to do that. So I can't support it. I totally agree with Alderman Taylor's stance on what Dennis Cicci said, and I was sort of hesitant to support the Finance Committee motion even with that in there. I'd actually like the other committee I wanted to jump over to the other side and go with their motion, but well, that's where I stand on it. So without more explanation on why we need 18 months, I can't support it.
Well, and Solomon, you've been patient.
Evidently, you can't hear. It's 6 months. And then it's agreeable that it's up to us to say we need you longer.
Are you talking to me or the chair?
I'm talking to the chair. And the scenario is, we're not going to get the new individual till the end of September, first part of October. That's what the guesstimate is. So in essence, Cal's going to be here with that individual October, November, and December. Because this starts in July. 3 months to be trained. Pick up our system. Now, it would be great if we'd get the Madison controller to come over here. I'm not too optimistic about that. So there's going to be a training schedule that's going to have to happen. We're right in the middle of a budget process in this time frame with all the state mandates. Enough said.
Ms. Liberta.
Just a clarification, correction. The way it's written, yes, the contract itself replaces his current contract effective July 1st, but that six-month period where he serves in the role of chief financial officer starts with the hiring of the new person. So he remains in his current job title until the new person's on board. Then there's a six-month period of overlap. At that point, you can stop it at any time. If you don't stop it by the first year, you actually have to move to continue it. And that's how we had understood the original motion of where it said for a period of 1 year, give or take 6 months. So we set it at the year and then gave you the ability to stop it at 6 months, but you had to overtly act to extend it beyond there.
Alderman Olson.
I hope I'm wrong. This ain't going to work. This is a bad thing. This looks like county put this together from the get-go. This is not going to work. I'm voting no. Let's move on.
Ms. Liberta, just based on what I'm hearing in past discussions here, first of all, I think you said that you apologized to Alderman Taylor because you didn't get the interpretation correct, or something like that. So what we have in front of us is what I would say is kind of a flawed document. Not unusual. It's a very, very complex document. We have talked about mutual agreements, best laid plans sometimes don't make it. My suggestion is that the council not take action on this item tonight, because I don't think you have the votes to sustain this. And I think it would also be wrong if the contract that's in front of us is not a true reflection of what happened from the Finance Committee. But then I would say that either tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, that you and Mr. Patterson and I sit down and talk about the employment relationship between Mr. Patterson and the city.
I'll move the table to the next meeting.
Okay, not the same document. Not the same document. It could change, right?
Correct.
But from what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Finance Committee, Mr. Cicci in particular, said that he could support this, but only after the person was hired.
Right. I'd like to see what you can.
And given that this is a mutually agreeable document, I think that we've spent enough time talking about this. I can tell you what I would be doing at this juncture.
A point of order, I believe there's a motion on the floor.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Yes.
It was it seconded?
By Alderman Olson.
It was, okay. There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded under discussion. Alderman Sullivan under discussion.
I do believe that the tape should be listened to again, but I also believe that Member Cicci indicated that we were talking about length of time for 6 months, a year and a half. And as we were having that discussion, he waited towards the end of our discussion and indicated it depends on who the candidate is, whether or not the candidate's qualifications would require 6 months, 1 year, or 18 months. I do believe that was the context of his comments, but I do believe it should be listened to again.
First of all, I just wanted to comment that Alderman Wilhelm was absolutely correct in calling out point of order under Robert's Rules of Order. and that I should have passed the gavel if I wanted to speak, so I did. The reason I'm bringing this up is because, and I've said it three times, I'll say it a fourth time, this is a mutual agreement. I don't know who said it tonight, maybe it was Alderman Salmon, that Ms. Patterson was actually doing us a favor. I bring it up because you are the board of directors, I'm the CEO, and I'm telling you that things may change as of tomorrow morning. And so I think you need to be prepared for that. That's it. Alderman Olson and Mr. Wilberg.
Well, I appreciate hearing all the comments about what the Finance Committee thought. There was two committees at that meeting, and the Personnel Committee meeting had an entirely different point of view on this. They didn't believe it ought to extend past a year. They didn't believe it ought to extend past 6 months. That's being totally ignored. It's not reflected in the documents. It's not reflected in the discussion. So, you know what? Let's table this and move on. If we're going to ignore committees, let's ignore them completely. Let's move on.
Mr. Liberta.
And
let's not move on.
Just
Jesus, we're killing every issue tonight.
Well, the issue of personnel, it wasn't ignored. It was specifically debated at your meeting 2 weeks ago where you chose what you want to do and gave me direction to bring this back. Dennis Cicci, when he talked about bringing it to a shorter time frame, the original proposal was 2 years. So when you said a year, he said, yeah, because it could be less. And so your motion was a year or 6 months less or 6 months, give or take. So, but the point is, if you do table this, I just want you to recognize that his current contract remains in place. And so there will be added cost to us under his current contract that we'll have to bear if whether he stays or decides to retire, because there were some benefits built into this that he had extended to us anticipating the part-time. So there will be cost to tabling this beyond tonight.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I'm just going to say this because...
I'm sorry, Alderman Schmidt, you have your hand.
I don't think we need to move on with this. As Alderman Olson said... Personnel Committee, we did favor the shorter term of the 6 month period. And I really, because I don't really see a need to have the potential extension out to a year and a half or something. But the document is written that we have the flexibility. So I just concur with tabling it and moving on.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, one thing I'm going to offer is, you know, this is the third meeting we've been at discussing this. Mr. Patterson has always sat in the audience and never called upon him. He's never raised his hand and wanted to say anything. I'm going to offer, if you'd like to speak to this body and let us know what you're thinking, because I feel like I'm negotiating partly against myself. Like, I really don't know. I mean, I know that what you, your memo that you're going to go into halftime status effective August 1st, but the mayor said that tomorrow the world may change, and I don't know if that means you're just going to walk out the door tomorrow. It's kind of difficult sitting in this chair to make this decision, and you know, we can interpret what Dennis said all we want. What I said is I want to know what the candidate is. That's all I can tell you. So you can listen to Menz, you can listen to Dennis and Menz, but that is what I said.
Call the question. The
question has been called. I believe it. I never can remember if it requires a second. I don't believe it does. But is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
All right. Been moved and seconded.
You want to hear from them.
All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed. Chair here is 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries, which meets the 2/3 requirement, unless it's a majority.
It's a majority
under the code. Okay. On the main motion, Madam Clerk, please read back the motion.
Alderman Wilhelm moved. To table to the next meeting an employment agreement between the City of Franklin and Calvin Patterson as Director of Finance and Treasurer and Chief Financial Officer, seconded by Alderman Olson.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skaronski?
No.
4 ayes, 2 noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Now turn to item 10.
Mr. Mayor, this is Steve. So, move to approve.
Second.
So, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman Solomon, sorry.
Well, this policy of credit cards, to me, needs some checks and balances. There aren't any built in. We're going to hand out credit cards to department heads to do whatever. Who's going to control what's going on? Once it's charged, we're paying for it, whether it's $50, $100, $500. I would suggest that some controls be put on this, that it either goes through the director of administration, the finance director, i.e. city clerk, but somebody has to have some cost controls on this. Doesn't make any sense.
Alderman Olson?
I'll modify my motion. Move to approve under the condition that operational guidelines are developed by the director of administration and passed and approved by the finance committee.
I accept that.
That's the second. We have a motion that's been made and seconded under discussion. Mr. Roberta.
In his write-up, Cal indicates the finance department will establish policies under which the cards will be used. And I believe, given it's an internal and a cash control issue, the motion would probably be best to have Cal initial writing about how to balance, or how to monitor it. Or if you want us to move together, Cal should be
Cal's able.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say motion carries. Now, item G11. I asked Mr. Patterson at the last CDA meeting if he would bring this forward. Obviously, TIF District number 2 is under the authority of the Community Development Authority, and I believe we're going to try and defease the bonds from the business park around December of. He's going no to me again. Okay. Mr. Patterson, we're going to move to defease the bonds from the business park on.
Last March 1st.
Okay. The dollars that would be returning to the, I'll call it the coffers of the city or to the people or to the whatever project would occur when?
Let me refer you to page 86. Page 86 is a one-page projected cash flow of TIF District number 2. What it shows in the year 2011 is that we had an increment. We received that increment in January of this year. We will also receive in July of this year a computer aid payment from the state based upon the computers in that district. And then on March 1st, this past March 1st, we paid the last outside indebtedness on this TIF district of $4,794,000. We have two projects to finish up in the district, a pond retrofit where we have some remaining costs, and the reconstruction of Oakwood Road. Those under the capital expenditures estimated at $500,000. So with that, the TIF district will have $1,700,000 remaining. As the district closes, and you've already made the indication that it's going to close, we've already told the state that we will not be taking an increment next year. This district is done. It is closed for all practical purposes other than finalizing these two construction projects and filing the final reports with the state, which will happen in the November to February time frame. At that point in time, once the audit is filed, then the $1.7 million will be redistributed back to the various districts in proportion to their tax levies.
So when will that occur?
Somewhere in the November or February time.
Okay. So it's the distribution of the tax revenue back to the various taxing districts that I guess is the thing that gets confused out there with the defeasing of the bonds.
Yes.
Yeah, and what the people are really concerned about is when are they going to get tax relief from that taxing district? And it's going to be late October, maybe November.
The tax bills that come out in December of 2011 will not have a TIF District 2 on them, so they will be part of the general taxation.
Okay.
There's $167.5 million of valuation as of last January 1st that will go on the general tax rolls.
Right.
As of January 1st, 2011, which results in a tax bill in December of 2011.
I know that having talked to other elected representatives and consultants and real estate individuals, when they close out and they're going to return the dollars back to the various taxing districts, they usually have a pretty good-sized party, and then they make out very large checks and all that. When could we do that? When would be the earliest?
After the audit is completed and turned in to the Department of Revenue. So we will be doing a formal resolution somewhere in that November and December time frame.
Okay. So I said defease December, but it's actually the dollars will return to the taxing districts around December.
December to February.
Okay. And at that juncture, CDA, by city attorney question, CDA still would be in charge of the TIF district unless the common council chose otherwise? City attorney.
TIF District 2 will be closed. CDA under Land Development District 18 would remain the approving authority for all the land use site building plans in Franklin Business Park as well as any other projects assigned to it by the common council. And there is this issue of a bond supported by CDA name, a revenue bond for the Indian Community School, which I think
that's been redeemed.
Answers that question. It's nice when Mr. Patterson is here.
So if the Common Council wanted to either terminate the CDA or determine that they are no longer necessary, they could do so.
Yes, assuming that Mr. Patterson's answer to the ICS bond question would be true across the board and that there are no other obligations outstanding out there with any provision that the CDA continue its existence.
Reason for all these questions is my understanding is the TIF District number 2, according to many people, I've heard this over and over again, is one of the most successful TIF districts in the state of Wisconsin. And I think I said earlier that the original investment was like $2 million, and eventually it's going to be worth about $200 million. But should the council elect at a certain date, just like TIF Districts 3 and 4, those will be under the province and jurisdiction of the Common Council. And I wanted the council to be aware, because I think these reports have appeared in Finance Committee packets, but I'm not so sure that other committees of the Common Council out of the CDA have seen these. I know that the budget process, these probably came up. But, you know, there are some very, very large figures in here. Looking at total expenditures for TIF 2, looking at the column, $105 million, and then goes up to $111 million. And then TIF 3, we're looking at figures of, well, I've got figures of $8,127,000. Now, my understanding is TIF 3, and I think I got this from Alderman Solomon, is what in the category of a no-brainer, and that this is just going to be a great TIF district because of the increment from Northwestern Mutual and other buildings. But then you turn to TIF number 4, and while the the $4 million that's in negative brackets is covered by the, or should be covered by the increment from the Wheaton development and some minor other developments down there, that any future projects, either in phase 2 or 3, that the council would then have to go out and do borrowing for those.
Would you like me to step through 3 and 4?
Yeah, I think so, because there's some very large numbers included here.
So if you go to, let's do it somewhat backwards. If you go to pages 95 and 96, just briefly, that is the project plan of what TIF 3 intended on spending its money on. And 96 is just the boundary of the district. All of the projects except the 27th Street have been completed. So when you see the cost on page 94, looking across the 31st Street project, both the expansion and the new section, the Drexel Avenue interchange, and the development grants that we gave to Northwestern Mutual, that has all been accomplished. If you look at the bottom of the page where it says project plan, that was originally estimated at $12.8 million for all of the projects. The Joint Review Board says if you can do it for 15% over that or $14,720,000, have at it. If you can't, then you need to come back to the Joint Review Board. We're sitting at $14,300,000 with the projects that we have completed.
Cal, excuse me, you said Drexel interchange. You really mean Drexel?
The Drexel intersection, okay. And the one remaining project would be the construction on 27th Street. If you see from the project plan, it indicated both reconstruction, the local share of the street construction, some streetscape lighting, and other aesthetic improvements. The last information that I have on that, that got factored in 2016 and 2017, but how to read this, the first blank line is history. That's what's already happened through 2010. Projections are through 2011 through 2015, and that deals with what we've already approved. Because the $500,000 in 2015 is for the enhanced lighting that the council has agreed to. So at that point, 2015, as we move forward, we'll see that is paid off at that point in time. Depending upon what the council does in 2016 and 2017, if it just does the mile between Drexel and Rawson, with the 2010 information that I have available to me, it was $2.6 million for those reconstruction and improvements. You would have the option as a council to go half a mile north or a half a mile south without changing the boundaries, or you could even take the boundary a half mile north and pick up that whole mile from College to Rawson, but that's something that policy-wise you guys haven't decided yet. So keep that in mind. If you go back to page 93 is the development assumptions, and the items that are in the box are those that haven't happened yet. There's $2 million for this year's construction, and $2 million for next year, and $3.5 million for the following year. Don't get overly exercised about that. The increment value is about $300,000. So if it doesn't happen, it doesn't have a significant impact on what's being reported here.
Sir, Mr. Patterson, with TIF number 2, we've had an executive director. Currently, we have an executive of CDA who, in essence, manages the dollars for the TIF. Who's managing these dollars?
Board of Directors of the Council makes the final decisions for these dollars. So the decisions that what we're left with at this point in time, other than the 27th Street decision on spending, is receiving the increments and the computer aid and paying the debt payments. We flip up to page 91. This TIF district in the year 2011 has $8 million of debt outstanding on general obligation bonds. It has $7.5 million on taxable general obligation notes, and it has a receivable from Northwestern Mutual for $7.5 million. So those last two-thirds of that page offset each other, so we have to pay off $8 million over the next number of years. Going to page 89 is your overall cash flow, and in the year 2015, you're going to be getting an increment of $1,950,000, computer aid of $271,000, so you have total revenue of $2.2 million. You'll have $1,000,008 in principal of debt being paid off, and that will, $1,000,008, you'll have basically a $700,000 balance. So it'll slightly, as if everything happens exactly as the model shows it, you'll slightly roll over into 2016, and then depending upon what the council does on a policy basis on 27th Street, will affect whether the TIF terminates in 2016, 2017, or 2018.
When you say what the council wants to do with 27th Street, what is it, streetscaping? And
if the streetscaping is at the $2.6 million a mile per side, as the latest information that I have, then it would take that increment into 2017 to pay for it.
Okay. 6 miles a corridor is something like $13 million, $2.6 million per. I know this is TIF 3, but all those decisions have not been made.
That is correct.
They need to be made, and the council right now would have to make those decisions. Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've talked on a number of occasions. I think there's been a vote or two on this council that would give the authority to the CPA. So, and we've never pursued that. Jesse's given me the look. I don't know that we've ever come to what the procedure would be to transfer authority from the Common Council to the CDA. And that would be a useful discussion at some point in time for both TIFs, 3 and 4, to be specific. The one thing I need to point out is that from Drexel to Elm Road is a long way off. Long way up. So we ought to confine our conversations to Elm North, just for practical purposes.
Well, what I found out, Alderman, is that I know the Finance Committee had seen these, but I don't know what other committees of the city had seen it, and I wanted to make sure that the council, all the council members, especially the new council members, understood the dollars that are involved here and the complexity of this.
I appreciate that very much, Mr. Mayor. Something I've been asking.
And 27th Street, while that those decisions may be off, Mr. Patterson said $2.6 million per mile.
That's the information I received from HNTV.
And that's probably on the conservative end, in that there's been no dollars appropriated either through the budget process or by management of either TIF District Number 3 by the council. So these are millions. I mean, these are millions or tens of millions of dollars.
So, yes, we have $8 million of debt in this TIF district right now. But we have from $1.4 million to $1.9 million a year coming in TIF revenue to pay off that debt. So we have a scheduled debt and a scheduled revenue. So we don't have any kind of issue where the TIF district is underperforming. It is performing well.
Excuse me. I didn't hear you.
TIF District 3 is performing and performing well.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay, TIF number 4, similar, start the same spot on pages 106 and 107. Where 107 just shows you the location of TIF. It is the southeastern portion of the city of Franklin. The major part of the infrastructure on the northerly portion has been incorporated. The significant infrastructure has to do with getting sewer and water down and roads throughout the lower section. And if we don't have development there, we obviously don't have to spend the infrastructure money for that portion of the project. If you flip back to 105, it deals with basically phase one of the project plan, and those were projects around Oakwood Road, bringing water down to Oakwood Road, looping the water towards the business park, and that was almost $5.7 million of cost that we incurred. If you look at the very bottom, you say, well, phase one, you only had 4.9. The discussions that I've had with bond counsel is it's in the entire three phases, and we don't need to go back to the joint review board until we get close to the number on the lower right-hand corner of $26 million.
Giving you trouble. It's hot in here and everything, but there are new people on the council. When you say joint review board, who is that?
The TIF district is started by the city. They have to go to a joint review board, which is consisting of a member from the county, a member from the school board, a member from the tech board, a member from the city, and then an at-large member.
And I thought ours was Randy Ritter, if last time I checked.
I think that is correct.
And but that, going that, going back to the joint review board is not an automatic that the review board would see the world the same way that
that is correct. It's depending upon what you're showing them and how much longer you want the increment for, and how you can package it depending upon the situation at that point in time.
This was all down to the county line, correct?
That's correct.
Yep. So if we have a project potential, we need to do something we can attach to this project.
The infrastructure needs should be able to be
or if you had
funded out of this area.
If you were thinking about relocating businesses or things like that, or doing eminent domain blight determination, well, that's probably not a financial question. It's more. We have that later on, so I'll bring it up when we get to that.
Okay, so we had $5.7 million of costs that we've incurred. On page 104, we have the development, most of which we have in place. There's a small portion for construction year 2013 and 2014, which if didn't happen, wouldn't significantly alter the projections coming out of this model. The revenue for those 2 years would be $174,000 less than shown on the schedule here. TIF number four is debt. This actually came out of the 2005 bond offering. It is being provided on an interfund advance basis, but it's still mirroring outside debt that we have. So we have $3.7 million worth of debt in this TIF district as we speak today. That TIF district on page 102 in that first column is expected to go down to $3 million and 2.1, 1.1, and then be paid off in 2015. We have some interfund advance type borrowing to cover the shortfalls and be repaid when there's overages, small amounts in there between those years.
So right now the outstanding debt that the council owes is over $3,300,000?
Yes. If you go back to page 101, you have the overall summary, and there you can see in the year 2010, if you go all the way to the right, you can see that there's a $4 million in the hole. That $4 million in the hole is represented by $253,000 of cash and an outstanding debt at the end of last year of $4.2 million. Debt payments were made. That brings it down to the $3.7 million. And it's scheduled out so that the amount of the repayments and the amount of the increment that is being received are proportional and will result at the end of 2016 of all debt being paid off and approximately $600,000 available for phase two or phase three. So if at that time phase two comes up and we need to borrow money and put in infrastructure, or if it happens earlier, we'll be getting increment to offset the expenditures. So it should not significantly change the timing. But there's a lot of dollars of cost in phase two and phase three. If all of that gets done, it'll take the entire life of this TIF district to recover all of those costs.
Not trying to belabor this, but on page 105 at the top, first line says project plan estimate. And way over to the right column, it says $180,547,023. What is that?
104
at the top.
That was what the project plan estimated that the development would amount to in this district over its life.
Okay, so that's
a full build-out of the whole district, including the lower two-thirds.
So eventually it should be worth at least $180 million.
That was the planning in the project plan.
But that's if you do all the phases.
Yeah, if you just what we had identified through assuming that there'd be $30 million of development in 17 and 18, we'd be at 117 of that 180 million.
Alderman Olson?
Well, the thing that I think we should take away from all of this is, yeah, there's some big expenditure numbers that are covered by big development numbers. And some pretty smart people put this together a few years ago, Cal and Tim and several other people who aren't here anymore. And the numbers are running just the way they should. Is that correct, Cal?
The point is you don't go out and spend the
correct
infrastructure until you know you've got the developmental income.
We've heard that a million times, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is all good.
Yes, it is.
It could be much better, but it's all real good.
If you consider where the economy's been the last three years, I'm happy to be able to sort of report these kind of numbers to you guys. There are many. They've actually created legislation in Madison for distressed TIFs because so many of the TIF districts weren't living up to their projections. Ours aren't in that category. Ours are on plan and doing well.
Well, my recollection of this was this was a joint effort with the Finance Committee, the CDA, and the Economic Development Commission, along with staff of the city and then consultants. So it's all on track, but again, I wanted to put this on here because I was hearing that some members may not have seen this unless they were Finance Committee members. So, here's a request to take a 5-minute recess. I think that's in order.